welcome to episode 103 of the Dinner Sisters podcast, with two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. I'm Kate Schultz, living and working in Rhode Island. I'm a passionate cook and recipe collector, always thinking about my next meal.
And I'm Betsy Wallace. I live, work, and raise a family in Atlanta, Georgia. I love dinner time, but can always use help planning and cooking for my family of five.
Our goal with this podcast? Well, we want to cook a little better, learn a little bit about food, which I think we did this week. We certainly did. And most importantly, figure out what the heck to have for dinner. Here's how it works. Like every week, we have three recipes that we cooked and reviewed from popular food blogs, internet chefs, like anywhere I can find a recipe on the World Wide Web. We have all these recipes, tips, the smorgasbord, and a shopping list on our website at dinnersisters.com. You can also get them sent directly to your inbox by subscribing to our newsletter, which I write, if you'd like to preview the recipes before listening.
Okay, Kate, this week's recipes were big batch seasoned ground beef from Epicurious, instant cream cheese shin ramen from Lady and Pups, and Japanese curry bricks from New York Times Cooking.
Oh, Betsy, I feel like this episode has just been, like, we did it.
Yeah.
This was quite the episode. So we've been trying to get this done for weeks. It's a lot about doing things ahead of time, which, you know, can sometimes be a challenge. And this is a little different than even just like making a casserole the night before. These are things that can like live in your fridge or in your freezer until you're ready to make the meal. So a bit of a pantry staple, freezer staple kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Kate, we really have been kind of punting on this episode for months. I mean,
really,
it has been a thing. And it's been sort of hanging over our heads because we've both mm-hmm. wanted to do it. And then it just, I think the holiday rush kind of got to us. So anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, that February holiday rush.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it, I think, in November.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
The first time around. So the trick with this episode is that we needed to allow enough time to first pre-make and then use these pre-made ingredients to then make a dinner.
Yeah.
Which made it sort of an extra challenging episode to put together. But we did it, and we're here to talk about it. I'm so glad we did, because I think this really ended up being a great episode.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. First up is probably the simplest. Big batch seasoned ground beef from Epicurious. And all you have to do is take 4 pounds of ground beef, season it with salt and pepper, and brown it in a large skillet. And if you can't fit all 4 pounds in your pan, you can actually just brown the first 2 pounds and then add in the rest. Freeze it in 1 pound or whatever size batches you want for anything you can think of, like adding it to marinara sauce, stuffing peppers, or they actually suggested reheating a bit of the ground beef with some olive oil and topping hummus with it, which I thought delicious. There's a companion article with the recipe for the ground beef filled with ideas that I think are really fun, and we'll post that on our website so you can check it out too. Betsy, how'd this go?
I liked this because it's really more of an idea or sort of a meal planning solution, and I think we can use those sometimes. And it's nice to be reminded of the way, just different ways your life can be easier in the kitchen, to be honest. Yeah. It seems so obvious, but sometimes someone needs to just tell you, hey, make a whole bunch of ground beef ahead of time, and your Tuesday nights will be more pleasant. So I liked that.
Right.
I did make spaghetti and meat sauce with this. I made the runzas out of Midwest Made. So that was nice because I kind of got to skip a step. You know, I made the topping. My ground beef was already brown, so I just kind of threw it in there with the cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
I made a spaghetti pie, which was delicious. I still have a lot left in the freezer. So I liked this as just a concept and a reminder and sort of a make-ahead component that's ready in your freezer.
Yeah. Yeah, same. So, I mean, full truth here, I did not make 4 pounds of ground beef.
That'd be a lot for you. Yeah.
That's a lot. Like, I don't know where I'd put it, honestly. Yeah. So, but I did make a couple pounds, which even felt, I was like, oh man, this is going to be a lot of beef. But when, you know, you cook it down, it loses some volume, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then I froze it in 1/2 pound portions, which is only 4 portions, really.
Yeah.
And so I set some aside for meat sauce, which was really good. And I'm looking forward to using it with that hummus idea, because I figure, mm-hmm. like, get home, put some hummus on a plate, heat up that ground beef. Like, that's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it'll be really nice to have these easy to deal with protein in the freezer after a long day. I was even wondering if I could adapt it somehow and just like simmer it in a little of that Korean beef taco seasoning.
Oh, yum. Yes.
Right?
Also delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is like a 4 out of 5 idea for me. I'll definitely do it again. And I just was like, yeah, like you said, this is an idea. It's less of a recipe. When they said seasoned ground beef, when I first read it, I was like, oh, what are the seasonings? Just salt and pepper. But I think that makes it really flexible, right? Because you can do a lot of different things with it. You're not kind of stuck in one particular recipe. Yeah. How was your rating?
I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 also. I, you know, it's not going to like knock your socks off as far as a new dinner idea,
yeah.
But it definitely helps get food on the table faster, which is something I think we all need.
Yeah, some days. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have instant cream cheese Shin Ramen from Lady and Pups. Kate, tell us about this one.
Bessie, Lady and Pups has got to be one of my favorite blogs for her food photography and also for her writing, but I don't often have her recipes on our podcast because her cooking style is pretty involved. They're usually complicated recipes, and she doesn't shy away from unusual ingredients. I feel like they're beautiful, they look delicious, maybe not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But then you talked about this Make Ahead Pantry thing, and I remembered that she has a few ideas for kind of this like instant noodle mix. So I was like, oh, perfect. So I found this one from her site, and here we are today. So basically, she has these ideas or these recipes for fresh blended ingredients that you can keep in a jar in the fridge until you're like ready to make Asian-ish noodles. That makes sense. So like marinara sauce, you'd have this like kind of like instant ramen mix kind of thing. So the Shin Ramen mix is Benzie, you kept calling it a flavor bomb.
I think that's really true. I think I even emoji texted you some bombs on this one.
Sure did. And it is.
Yeah.
It's got pancetta and anchovies that are sauteed in a little oil. And then you blend it with powdered shiitake mushrooms, 13 cloves of garlic, mm-hmm. Korean pepper flakes, Korean hot sauce, onion, soy sauce, fish sauce, instant dashi, paprika, brown sugar, and then cream cheese. And you just blend it all until it's smooth, and you kind of plop it into a jar until you're ready to eat. Keep it in the fridge. And then to make the Shin Ramen, you just simmer 1/4 cup of the mix with 1 cup of chicken broth, add in your noodles. I used instant ramen noodles without the seasoning packet, and you're all set. So, Betsy, what did you think?
I mean, Kate, yes, this was a huge flavor bomb. I was so surprised, and I guess I shouldn't have been because you're starting with like pancetta and then anchovies and putting in those, you know, Korean red pepper flakes and everything going in there is the fish sauce, and it's like really big, bold flavors going in.
Yeah.
Which of course means it's going to be a big, bold flavor coming out.
Yeah.
Mine was just like a really pretty orangey red color. Was yours
same.
Also?
Yeah.
Made for a really beautiful looking dish also.
Mm-hmm.
Such an impressive flavor. And if you love like big, salty, spicy, umami broths, you're going to love this.
For weeks in the fridge, she said. And I agree. If you know there's someone in your life that also makes a Korean stew that you and I didn't make because it comes with a lot of like accoutrements, like rice cakes and hot dogs and spam and like a whole bunch of others. So you can just even pile more salty, delicious stuff on top if you really want to, which sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, yeah, right? So I think for guests, this would be super fun. It kind of blew your head off at first. But you're like, oh, you keep eating. You're like, yes, so good. Yes,
yeah. I really thought this is one of those things that to me tasted like I was having a restaurant-worthy dish, or this is something that I was so surprised how good it tasted at home.
Total, this took maybe 20 minutes to make.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really not. It's a matter of getting those ingredients to your house, which is kind of which could take you a little bit of time. But putting it all together, not bad. So one thing I was going to mention is that my black peppercorns, I put them in there, and you put it on the food processor, and I should have ground them first because not all of mine ground up in the food processor.
Same. I would have maybe, or like I've got a mini mortar and pestle. And I would have like crushed them just like once or twice first. Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about freezing, and I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. It makes about 3/4. How big is a normal marinara jar? I don't know. It makes a lot of sauce. Yeah. So I was thinking what I might do is take a couple portions of it and plop it onto my Silpat on a baking sheet and like freeze it in like individual quarters, like little mounds. Because it's fairly thick, right? So you could kind of scoop it, kind of like keep it all together in one spot, freeze it until it's solid, and then put those in a bag. I don't know how it would come out, but I feel like it would be fine.
And I think she writes in there that you can freeze it, but just not a lot of instructions on how you might go about doing that.
Got
and
it.
I just personally, it's me and the kids right now because Ryan's not home yet. And so I'm thinking, I mean, there's no way I'm going to make this multiple times, huge dinners in the next, you know, like two or 3 weeks. So I might try to do the same thing.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, we'll report back and tell everyone how it goes. Oh, but we need to rate this. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. I have no complaints.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I was surprised how flavorful this was. So it's not a shy recipe. But if you're looking for not a shy recipe, I would say go for this one. It's fun. Okay, so our last pantry staple today is Japanese curry bricks from New York Times Cooking.
Yeah, we're ending on the recipe that kind of kicked off this episode, Betsy. Mm-hmm. This is the recipe that you were kind of jazzed up about. And I was like, really? This is what you... it seemed like such a project. But I think it was super fun. So this recipe is to make the bricks or blocks or whatever you're going to call them that make the sauce for a Japanese curry, which I hadn't had it before. And I loved it. So, spoiler alert, usually we say that later, but I'm just going to tell you, it was great. And the best way I can describe the dish is if, like, a delicious brown gravy and curry had a baby.
Interesting, right? Kate. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. And so you simmer carrots, potatoes, onions, and chicken thighs in this sauce and then serve it over rice. It's, you know, comfort food to the max. So typically you buy the bricks, but this was a chance to make your own. And this is a project, so bear with me on the descriptions. There are a lot of things that go into this. So first you toast a cinnamon stick, bay leaf, mustard seeds, coriander seeds, fennel seeds, cumin seeds, fenugreek seeds, cloves, and cardamom pods all over medium heat, and then you grind it in a spice grinder. It smells really good. Then you add in some kombu, which is dried seaweed, shiitake mushrooms, and peppercorns, and you grind it up some more. Add those spices to a bowl with orange zest, turmeric, ginger, sea salt, paprika, and cayenne pepper. And did I mention this smells amazing? This smells really good. Like, at this point, your house is filled with delicious spice smell. It's so good. And then you need to make a roux, which is 2 cups of butter that you melt in a big saucepan with 2 1/4 cups of flour. Over a medium heat, you just kind of mix it all up and keep mixing until the flour and the roux is a nice, toasty, dark brown. You don't want to burn it, so you got to kind of watch this. But you really do want that nice, toasted flavor of the flour. And then what you do is you just take it off the heat and add in your big bowl of spices. Mix it all up really well, and then you spread the mixture into 3 mini loaf pans or a quarter sheet pan that's been lined with parchment paper. And actually, since a quarter sheet is a 9x13 pan, that's what I used. You chill it until it's firm, and then you cut it into 27 pieces. This makes a lot of curry bricks, guys. And you can store it in the fridge or the freezer. And then, like I said, to make the curry, you first saute your chopped onions, carrots, a potato, and chicken. And then you add in some chicken broth and simmer until the veggies are soft. And then add in the curry blocks. You simmer it some more till the sauce is nice and thick. Serve it over hot rice. And there you go. So many spices in a roux that you chill down and then you can make into a curry. Betsy, how did you like it?
So I did, when this first came out, I don't know if people saw this in the fall in the New York Times Cooking, and it was a released recipe from a cookbook, I think. I saw in the recipe notes.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like one of those really kind of cool project-y things that you do once, and then you can talk about how you've done it kind of all year. You know, like...
Right. Yeah.
You're like, that'd be kind of a fun thing to do. And I think, again, with this one, the biggest roadblock you'll encounter here might be just gathering all the spices ingredients if you don't already have them at home. And because the actual assembling of this is really not that difficult. It's just toasting the spices, grinding them up, and then mixing them into this roux.
Yeah.
So that all was fairly straightforward, and I didn't think it was complicated. It's just the sheer amount of spices you might need to grab. And I actually had a whole bunch of these from our Indianish episode, Kate.
I was just going to ask you, I did not have to buy any new spices because I had them all.
Yeah, I think I had to get the kombu.
I think it's... Oh, no, yes, I had to get the kombu. I did not have that, and I did not have... And it was something silly that I usually do have. Oh, the kombu and the shiitake mushrooms I ended up buying. And then I found my stash of shiitake mushrooms, dried shiitake mushrooms. So now I've got 2 pounds of dried shiitake mushrooms in the house.
Oh, boy.
So that's a lot. That's a lot. But, I mean, if you've bought things for Indian cooking before, you probably have a lot of this in that.
Yeah, agreed, because I ended up having a ton of this stuff. And then the mushrooms, I used both for the mushroom powder in the ramen mm-hmm. recipe and then also in this recipe. So that was kind of nice because there was some overlap there. I mean, I feel like I'm going to get a ton of mileage out of this.
Yeah.
Like these curry blocks. I love that it's kind of flexible. I even thought when I was making this, like, I could throw one of these in when I'm making the vegan root vegetable soup that I like.
Ooh, yeah.
Into the broth in there. And that would be delicious.
I hadn't even thought about that, Betsy. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I kept thinking of all the places I could throw one of these curry blocks, which is just...
Yeah.
Which is just really fun. And the flavor I thought was so great. And it has definitely a more, like, delicate feel to it. It wasn't so, like, pow, like the first recipe. It was not a flavor bomb. It was like a nice, warming curry, delicious curry broth.
Yeah. It's kind of like why I call them the gravy, because it has that kind of like comforting, like it sounds like you kind of use yours more of as a broth. If you thicken it up when you're making that curry, it does make a nice, thick, delicious sauce in that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I made the curry. It did not stay in the house. It just was gone. I don't know what happened. And I think it was really balanced for the spices. I thought that was delicious. And like you said, Betsy, this makes 9 batches of curry.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And considering like all the cooking we do, this will last me a really long time. But like I normally have carrots and onions and potatoes in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You could throw tofu in here and it would be delicious. I actually did not have chicken thighs, and so I used a pork loin that I cut up.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious. Okay. I think you can use beef if you wanted to. You know, it's really flexible in that taste. So I think, you know, unless you're going vegan, and I was actually talking to, believe it or not, a Lyft driver. I was telling my friend about this curry blocks, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, that sounds really good, but I'm vegan. And I was like, I wonder if you could make the roux with a vegan butter substitute.
Yeah, I'm sure there are recipes for like vegan roux, and then you could just toss those spices in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then make this a delicious like vegetarian vegan meal. So, you know, I don't know. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. How about you?
I'm going to say the same on this one because there was nothing overly complicated about this and the payoff was huge. And for as much as I kind of dragged my feet a little bit on these curry blocks because I thought I was going to have an issue or run into something or just have it be a little bit more complicated, it really was not. And I think it's kind of a fun project cooking. It's not going to, you're not going to end up with a meal afterwards. You're still going to have to make yourself dinner. But if you are, if you're looking for like a little Sunday afternoon thing to do.
Exactly. Your future self will thank you. All right, Betsy. So how about the winners for this week? What are we going to say is our absolute favorite? What was yours?
Mine's the Shin Ramen because
interesting.
I thought that was just such a huge flavor discovery for me. I loved the Japanese curry blocks. Or bricks. I really did. So these were, it was a very close call here. But I thought because the ramen was so different. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised by that. That's why I'm going with that one.
Love it. I mean, for me, it was the curry. Mm-hmm. It just was so delicious. Oh, man. So if any of these recipes sound good to you, maybe you just want to make some hamburger. And you know what? That's great. Yes. Just make that. You can always make sure to check out our show notes and grocery list at dinnersisters.com. There we have links to all of our recipes, any tips or techniques we talked about. And if you'd like to chat more with us, you can always ask to join our Dinner Sisters Facebook group. We are at Dinner Sisters Podcast. Type that in and you'll see us right there.
Okay, Kate, before we head to the smorgasbord, a break.
Okay, Betsy, you had a topic for the smorgasbord today. What did you want to talk about?
Yes, Kate, I am really excited about an upcoming book and author interview we're going to be doing, and it is Susan Spungen's Open Kitchen, Inspired Food for Casual Gatherings. So in this book, it's structured so that you can do little parts of your cooking ahead so that when you're entertaining or enjoying a meal with friends, you can have, like, it's not so much at the last minute. Like,
oh, nice.
You've done portions of everything maybe the day before or 2 days before or that afternoon. So she kind of pieces things out like this so that when you are at your mealtime, when you're having people over, you can enjoy the time spent and be a relaxed hostess and, you know, all of the things that we strive to be in life instead of this like harried person who's, you know, has a sink full of dishes and you're just look crazy. So that's how she structures this book, which I thought was really, really fun. And set up kind of a cool take and kind of a different take on entertaining. She actually says she does not like the word entertaining. It's like gathering or something like that. Cause let's take the pressure off. And one of the ways to take the pressure off is to do kind of little bits ahead. It struck me as I was reading this book that that's sort of what we did with this episode this week. And it doesn't work all of the time. Of course, we know this. But if you can manage to get just a little bit ahead in your cooking, like kind of making the curry blocks or the Shin ramen, you can spend more time enjoying the meal you've made with your family too. Like you can use this concept that she uses for having friends over in a way that might make your weeknight dinners easier as well. And I like how she doesn't go like full on meal prepping because you and I both find that like a difficult thing
like
to
way
get on
too
board
much.
With. Yeah, it's just so much. And so she's saying like maybe just do one or two things ahead and you can just take the pressure off yourself a little bit. Another point she makes in here, which I thought was just a nice observation, is that if you do a little bit of these things ahead of time, it will cut down on your day of dishes. Like you won't have so many pots and pans. And I was like, yes, that is another thing that's so obnoxious when you're making everything all at the same time, is that you get this like explosion of dishes some nights. And she's saying, if you piece it out a little bit more, you'll also be doing your dishes kind of not all at the same time.
I think that's a fantastic idea. I think any time that you can be more present with your guests and less about running around like a chicken with your head cut off, the better. So this sounds like a really fun book. I have not gotten it yet. I'm really excited to get it and read, and we'll have to post some pictures and things of what we do when we actually dig into it. And then we're doing the interview when, Betsy?
It's early March. So look for that coming out in the next month or so, that episode. All right, so coming up next week, speaking of make ahead or getting one step ahead of ourselves here, Kate, we're talking about marinades.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something you can do to make your meal maybe that much more delicious. And there is a pork loin marinade that may just compete with Ryan's favorite recipe. For longtime listeners, you'll know what I'm talking about. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
All right, so that's it for dinner this week. See you next time on The Dinner Sisters. We'll save a spot at the table for you.
Would you like a little dinner in your inbox every week? Subscribe to our newsletter by going to our website at dinnersisters.com for show notes and other fun stuff. If you have some dinner ideas, send us an email. We are at dinnersisterspodcast@gmail.com. Last, as per usual, if you like what you're hearing, please review and subscribe and maybe even tell a friend. That's how people get to know us. Thanks and happy eating.